kicking off your 15th season as a head football coach tomorrow night. And here's an interesting number. I don't know if you know this. You know you're 13-1 in season openers. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think we lost our first one.
Yeah, your first one, 16-14 at Lakin. You've won 13 in a row.
Yeah, we did. We should have went for a field goal. We went for it on fourth and one, and we didn't make it. So, yeah, I remember that game, you know, pretty well. It's like, oh, my gosh.
That's something that, especially your first year as a football coach, obviously you've been coaching basketball, but your first game as a head football coach, and that's something that I'm sure you're going to remember forever.
I will. I mean, you know, I can tell you a lot of stuff about it. I mean, had a running back, had about 130 yards rushing in the first half, and is almost dehydrated at halftime. So he gets like zero carries, and the rest of the offense, oh, no, you know, where's Calvin at? And, you know, our kids just kind of folded, and we couldn't hardly get it going down the field anymore.
Coach, what does it feel like to be the head coach of Dodge Lee High School? Because I know it's something, obviously, you've been out of Western Kansas before, and you've coached out here, but now to be the head coach of the Red Demons going into tomorrow night, how does that feel?
That feels good. You know, I really enjoy our staff and our players, and, you know, they've given us, you know, full effort just about every day. Not mentally every day, but, you know, physically they've given us everything they've had. So, you know, going into this first game, it's like, man, we need about two more days of practice, and then it's like, no, it's time to play. So we kind of see where we're at. So definitely excited, looking forward to, you know, that first contest tomorrow.
Yeah, the old saying is, you know, the hay is in the barn. Now you have no more practices, and now you get ready to load the bus tomorrow afternoon to go to Wichita. How do you feel about the team going into tomorrow night?
That's good. I mean, I think they're excited. I think they're pretty grounded on, you know, what they realize are our strengths and weaknesses, what we have to do to be successful. You know, I think, you know, what we talked about on Monday and kind of going throughout the rest of the week was week number one, how big special teams are across the state, because nobody has probably gone live on special teams because of the risk of injuries. And, you know, so we've worked them pretty hard, and sometimes we've looked pretty good, and sometimes it's like, what are we doing? You know, so, you know, I usually think about 15% of the games across the state are going to be decided by a special team play.
I know I've talked to you personally about this, but, you know, with the guys having to transition into basically a whole new offense, how do you feel like they've, you know, been able to get through that here through fall camp?
I'd say, honestly, you know, we only have probably about 65% of the stuff that I normally like to have in. And, you know, we're concentrating on quality more than quantity right now. I think, you know, some of the stuff we're going to do between the tackles, I think we have an opportunity to be very good at. And I think, you know, we have some stuff that, you know, also kind of, you know, runs very relevant to success with, you know, hitting on the outside. Right. You know, whether it's a running back or I think both our quarterbacks can run the ball. And, you know, I think the strength of our team is going to be our rushing game at this point. And as we add to play action and add the rest of the stuff, I think, you know, we're going to be pretty solid passing also.
How did you get into the wing tee? Is that something that, you know, you look back on it, how long have you been running that? Have you been running it all 15 years, or that's something that you just kind of picked up on? And what's your philosophy behind the wing tee?
Actually, I started running the wing tee as an O coordinator back in like 1987, you know, back before any of these guys, you know, were even thought about. And Larry Strader up in Frankfort, Kansas, which is 2A up by Marysville, you know, my second year there, we went from the I to the wing tee, the Delaware wing tee. And you know, I was his O coordinator for 8 years, you know, and then I went down to Wellington for a year and got into a different system. When I went out to Scott City, the first 4 years, I was a D coordinator. And then when Bill Arnold, Hayden's coach, you know, came out, his first year, we were slot I. And that next summer, we were working at a co-op out in the middle of nowhere, and we decided to put the wing tee in because it fit our personnel. So, you know, early in the morning before the trucks got out there, you know, we're sitting in lawn chairs diagramming football plays. You know, and then we would, you know, dump the trucks all day, and we would add on the next day, hey, next series, you know, you got your different series that are number, you know, your 20 series is basically, you know, the true wing tee, the, you know, the trap sweep waggle stuff. And then, you know, you go on, and so every day we added a new series. And, you know, so we ran with it, you know, with Coach Arnold for 7 years. And when Bill left, you know, I was a basketball coach at that time, and, you know, the staff decided, hey, we don't want a new head coach because we're going to have to start all over, because we enjoyed what we were doing and we're very good at it. So I took the head coach, and we kept the wing tee and also added some spread stuff to go with it. I mean, so we're not a true wing, but we have a lot of stuff that is very definitely wing history.
You're a coach that loves to watch film, and you love to kind of just examine everything. I know out of practice sometimes you're up in the tower, you're watching from up above, just because you can see so many things that you can't see on the ground. Is that mainly why you do it?
It is. you know, as far as why I'm up there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see the big picture. You know, so, you know, I can sit there, and if we film a practice, you know, I'd go back and dissect that. But, you know, from that tower way up there, and you know, wonder why an old man like me is climbing up there. But, you know, the view is outstanding. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, for the last 2 years, I've been the head coach from the press box. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I've been up there, you know, 2 years ago, probably about 50-50. Last year, it was 100% of the time. And if our headphones work tomorrow, I'm going to be up there tomorrow.
There you go.
So we'll start.
And I want to talk to you about, because obviously you were a very successful basketball coach. Obviously you've been a very successful football coach. What is it, something just you want to spend more time with your wife and your family, that you went away from doing both? Or is it what got you away from basketball?
Well, in 2016, that was a year after Trey had graduated. Uh-huh. That's my last you know, child in school. Okay, Brett was playing at Central Missouri after he played 2 years here at, you know, DC3, and Trey was at Fort Hays State. And both of our parents were having health problems. And my wife's dad was in Council Grove, and my mom was in Central Missouri. So we decided to make the move to Topeka, number one, for parents, mm-hmm. not number two, so we could split the difference between the boys, because Brett only had 1 year left, and I didn't want to miss his whole senior season like I missed most of his junior season. Now, so gave up basketball until, you know, 2 years ago. And then Royal Valley, which is a 3A school, yep. just north of Topeka Seaman.
In Hoyt.
Yeah, in Hoyt, yep. Kansas. They needed an assistant, and their head basketball coach was actually a Seaman former baseball coach. And, you know, so he's actually Seaman's baseball coach right now. And he asked, hey, would Trey like to come up and be an assistant? Because Trey was going to student teach, mm-hmm. that year. And then Trey financial-wise, was going to get paid at Hayes High to be a student assistant coach and not make any money at Seaman. So we talked him into staying at Hayes, and I took the assistant basketball. And, you know, Coach Oliva, you know, gave me a lot of freedom installing a lot of Scott City stuff. And, you know, we went from the year before I started, they were, I think they were 9-12. And then the first year we were 21-2. And then the next year, Coach Oliva took the Seaman baseball, and new coach come in. And after the first couple of weeks, he goes, I've never had an assistant coach that had any experience. He goes, I need to let you help coach. So last year, you know, we went 20-3 and went to the 3A state, which was the first time in Royal Valley history. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and, you know, it was fun. I miss basketball, but at the same time, you know, family came first.
Mentioned family. I know that's important to you. You have three kids. All of them are in coaching. How cool is that to look down? I know Trey just got a job down in Hugoton as a head boys basketball coach. He's also on the football staff as well?
He is. He'll be running their secondary and doing a lot of, you know, partial coordinating down there.
So how cool is that just to know that, you know, the family tree continues in coaching?
Well, that was part of the reason out here for Dodge also, get a little closer to, you know, where Trey was. And we didn't know if he was going to be in Hayes, which right. would have not been a good thing. And, you know, or down in Hugoton. We knew he was wanting to be a head coach, mm-hmm. this year in either football or basketball. And then, you know, kind of getting back to a lot of friends and family, you know, in Scott City. And, you know, so, you know, definitely proud of the kids. You know, like you said, Trey's head coach at Hugoton. Mm-hmm. Brett just went from junior college in Texas over to Fort Smith, Arkansas at the D2 level. You know, so, I mean, he got his master's as a GA down at Cameron, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter, who's in Ohio, she always says she's the forgotten one because then nobody knows I have a daughter. You know, I'm going to brag her up a little bit. She's her last 2 years, they've been 46-9 in volleyball in Ohio. So, you know, she's a blonde-haired piece of fire, you know, on the sideline. She will get after her. Her kids are very well coached.